God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today and tomorrow, we're presenting programs based upon Dr. Werner Gitt's intriguing book, If Animals Could Talk. The German writer is one of the foremost creationists in the world. He uses his scientific expertise in the book, and we'll be working from a script Dr. Gitt wrote about what's in it. On today's program, Brother Hutchings is joined by Marvin McElvaney. Brother Marvin is Southwest Radio's computer expert and served as announcer before I joined the ministry back in 1998. Here now are Brother Hutchings and Marvin McElvaney.
Marvin, it's good to have you on the program with me.
Thank you, Pastor Hutchings. It's an honor to be here.
Today, as I mentioned, we're going to be sharing with you some of the truths about the world we live in. Now, the book, What If Animals Could Talk, excellent book for school children. I would say anything from the second or third grade up. It's good for university students also. It's good for Sunday school. It's also excellent for any adult groups as well as children. It shares some of the truths about animals that would indicate that it would be utterly out of anyone's even imagination to consider that all these things that we see, the animals that we see, all came from a common accident that happened eons and eons years ago when a bolt of lightning perhaps struck a mud puddle and a virus appeared, and now then it expanded into the whole human race, and thousands of animals, marine life, fowls, and all the things that move and breathe, including everything from whales and elephants down to the lowly bedbugs. I would like to begin just by reading a few verses of Scripture, beginning with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we continue on down in the following verse. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sees, and God saw that it was good. And we go on down, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that has life, and fowls that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Brother Marvin, what we see here is that God divided the waters that were created. Of course, water is one part hydrogen, two part oxygen. Nothing lives that breathes that doesn't need oxygen. The plants need CO2. We breathe in oxygen, give off CO2. The plants breathe CO2 and give off oxygen. But much of the oxygen that we breathe also comes out of the ocean. 97% of the CO2 comes out of the ocean. But God divided the heavens at the beginning. That is, God divided the waters between the atmosphere that we see. There's water on the land, and there was water above. And it is commonly believed that at one time there was a canopy of water above the earth, just as the Bible teaches. And at the flood, this water, which may have been in form of ice crystals, came down as rain. But before that, there were seas. on the earth, and the waters made the seas into oceans. The waters covered all the earth. Of course, after the flood, the waters subsided. The waters did not subside all the way, because this water had come down from above. We read that in that time, mist came up out of the ground and watered the earth. That was before rain. Also, we read that mankind increased in population and spread over all the earth. Cain went out and built a city, and so we assume that there were many cities built before the flood. That is not what the theory of evolution teaches to our children, because they don't teach anything about the Great Flood. They refute that there ever was a Great Flood. And they say that everything millions and millions of years ago started the evolutionary chain. And you and I are maybe the ultimate or sub-ultimate result of all this evolutionary process. If you look on the ocean floor, in fact, I recently was watching the Discovery Channel about divers, and there underneath the ocean are cities on the ocean floor. Now, there's a city off of Cuba, one off of Japan, one off of South America, so we assume that there are other cities down there. We know there are some cities. Now, why doesn't the school books teach about cities on the ocean floor? Now, you pulled up some of them off the website, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did. There's quite a few down there, actually.
Yes. So, the Bible is correct. There was a great flood at one time in which the whole human race were liquidated or killed in the waters, except what the Bible says, 8 souls. And I was watching another program, I think it was on NOVA, and some DNA scientists were talking, and they said at one time the whole human race were destroyed except just a few people. Said our DNA shows that, but they don't teach that very extensively in school either.
That story sounds familiar.
Yes. So we go to young Timothy, Paul's letter to young Timothy, and where Paul was telling young Timothy the problems he was going to confront in his ministry. At the last verse, or next to the last verse, what did he warn him? He said, you're going to be confronted and opposed by false science. And that's what we're being opposed with today. Not true science, but false science. I think that's one reason the book here by Dr. Witt, If Animals Could Talk, is so important. And I would certainly encourage everyone to get a copy, not only for themselves, but also for their children or their grandchildren. It's a marvelous book. In the beginning here, we read about whales, Marvin. What are some of the interesting things that Dr. Witt brings out about whales?
Did you know whales can eat while swimming at 6 miles an hour? That gives a whole new meaning to the term fast food. They can travel long distances at 22 miles an hour. Or did you know that whales can compose music?
Well, I've heard them on soundtracks, but I didn't know they could actually compose notes and songs.
Yeah, the only problem they're having is getting them copyrighted. Did you know a whale can blow a spout of water 50 feet high?
Wow, that's pretty high. Whales, they don't have gills like regular fish. Regular fish, they have those little thin gills. Water is 2 points oxygen. And so they can go through the water or force the water through their gills. But that is not good for whales, is it?
No, it's not. They're mammals. They need to come up for air every once in a while.
And they have huge lungs. They can take almost a half a room full of air at one time. Now, we have lungs that we can maybe take in a square foot of air, and we goes into their lungs, and our lungs squeezes that air and squeezes out every bit of oxygen out of that one square foot of air in our lung. But if we didn't have lungs to do that, we couldn't live. And the whale has to have lungs because it is a warm-blooded animal. It is not a fish. Now, evolutionists will tell us that whales maybe were one time on the land and they gradually adapted for the water, but there's no indication that whales ever had feet. They also have a compression parts in their body that's necessary for them to dive deep in the water. The actual evidence indicates that whales were always whales and nothing else.
That's interesting because I was taught that creatures climbed out of the primordial ooze and evolved into life as we know it. A whale walked around and then climbed back in the ocean and dropped off his legs. Wow.
Whales are amazing because they have to travel, say, from Alaska or the North Pole all the way down south. That is where they feed and also where they bear their young. So they have to travel as much as 16,000 miles to and from each year. That would be 32,000 miles. Now, what if you had to swim 32,000 miles? The whales give birth to their young. They don't lay eggs. Like regular mammals, they give birth to their young. And the young whale comes out, and he's, of course, fragile for a young whale. And this young whale has to grow rapidly in order to keep up with his parents. If he doesn't grow fast so he can take care of himself and get bigger, the sharks will eat him. So God took care of that. A butterfat of the milk you buy at the store, the cow, and that's about normal for most land-based animals, it's 4%. I drink 1% milk myself when I use milk on my cereal because I don't want all that butterfat and get my arteries clogged up. But it's about 4%. Now, how much butterfat is there in a whale?
I have no idea.
42% in whale's milk.
It's almost half. It's almost 50%.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's over 10 times the butterfat than a cow gives. Now, why is that? Because the baby whale has to grow fast. Now, this baby whale, he may drink 1,000 gallons of milk a day from his mother whale. How much weight does he grow in a day? Well, he grows a lot. Now, how much weight does he grow in an hour? 7 pounds.
Amazing.
Now, can you imagine a baby gaining 7 pounds in an hour? That's what a baby whale does.
I've seen some fat babies before, but that's a bundle of blubber.
So it's just amazing when we read here about whales and how big they are.
Noah Hutchings and Marvin McIlvaney are sharing information from a fascinating book written by Dr. Werner Gitt on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. We'll have more to say about whales and other God-made critters in just a moment. But we want to let you know how to get Dr. Gitt's book, If Animals Could Talk. It's offered in appreciation of a $15 contribution in the United States, $17 in Canada. To get it, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, the zip code 73008. Or visit our website at swrc.com. We'll have more to say about the book at the close of the program, so be sure to stay tuned. Here again are Brother Hutchings and Marvin McIlvaney.
How big is a whale's tongue, Marvin?
A whale's tongue can weigh as much as 2 grown horses. Wow.
Yes. Now, can you imagine that? These whales are not small animals. They weigh tons and tons, thousands of pounds. It would take, I believe, as many as about 60 elephants. To weigh as much as a whale.
Incredible.
That's huge. Now, we cannot begin to imagine. Now, the Bible says that God created great whales. So the Bible is certainly accurate. Worlds are great. They're mighty. They're mysterious creatures. They can dive way down deep in the ocean. Other fish or other types of marine life can't. They travel all over the oceans. That was possible, of course, after the flood. And when the waters receded from the flood, the Earth's surface was not as great as it was before the flood, because much of it was taken up by water, seas, because the water that came down from above the firmament didn't all sink into the ground. So the seas were greater, and the cities that were built before the flood, you could still find them down on the bottom of the ocean. And you aren't taught that in school. Our children aren't. Marvin, do you have another animal you would like to discuss?
Before we move on, Pastor Hutchings, I'd just like to say that actual science uses observation and experimentation to describe and explain natural phenomena. Now, nobody has observed evolution. They dig up a bone and say, this bone is from a pygmy named Bill that lived in a cave. And schools refuse to say anything about God. They take God completely out of the equation. And what's left to explain our existence? It all just happened. They can discuss UFOs. They can discuss Bigfoot. They can discuss the Loch Ness Monster. But you can't even entertain the possibility of there being a God. But if science uses observation to explain things, then look around at creation. You can read in Romans 1 that God is invisible to us, but through his creation, we can see his majesty and perfection. That's observable science.
Yes, and again, I want to bring out again that Paul warned Timothy that right at the end of his first epistle to Timothy, which he stressed as the most important thing, that he was to expect the opposition of science. And that's the opposition that we have today when only 10% of children from Christian homes ever go to church. And why? Because they're taught by implication, if not by literal presentations, that the Bible is a bunch of tales and you can't believe it, that we all came up from monkeys, lower forms of animal life. That's exactly, I think, what Paul was stressing here to Timothy. Another strange animal, Dr. Gittings out here, in his book, and the platypus. I would just like to read what he says about the platypus. It appears that I am quite similar to many other animals. If you want to deduct from these similarities that I'm related to them, then it's up to you. My tail resembles that of a beaver. The poison fangs on my hind paws of my feet could be those of a viper. The web ring between my toes could be a frog, and my bill could be from a duck. The last item is one of the organs, and not just for feeding. This bill gives me my name, platypus. I lay eggs like a bird, nurse my young like a cat, I can swim like a fish, and dig like a mole.
Incredible.
Now, the platypus is a combination of about seven or eight animals. It has parts
animal.
bring out that this is a marvelous book for children, for students, for high school. And by the way, Marvin,
lightning bug.
Yeah. So the glowworm is the most efficient at using the electricity that he has to provide light. So there are many things that we can learn from animals if we would only stop and learn about them.
Actual science.
Yes, actual science, not Darwinian myth. Evolution is the myth. Paul says in the first chapter of Romans that the fact that we come from animals, birds, and beasts, and creeping things, says that's only imagination. Paul uses the word there, imagination. And so our children are taught this in school. But you know, Marvin, one of the most disturbing to stand up in the pulpit and take issue with what our children are taught in school today. And that, to me, is a mystery. They never say anything about evolution, that it is wrong. I don't know where they don't know enough to do that, or where they're afraid to, or they're afraid their parents, children there, will jump on them for doing that. But we're letting the devil's lie be proven right in the pulpit today because they're not saying anything about it.
It's very simple, Pastor Hutchings. Either God created everything or he didn't.
That is true. It's quite simple. And if a pastor does not believe that God created everything, then he doesn't need to be in the pulpit.
Amen.
Well, we would encourage you to get a copy of Dr. Gitt's book. I think you are going to enjoy it tremendously. And also, get an extra copy for your grandchildren or two. So here now is Brother Jerry to tell you how you can do that.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. The 115-page book is available by telephone, mail, or the Internet. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. If Animals Could Talk is offered for a contribution of $15 in the United States, $17 in Canada. The subtitle is Creation Speaks for Itself. This book is U.S. Programs both by calling 1-800-652-1144. The web address is swrc.com. Stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report over many of these stations. And plan to be with us tomorrow for another Your Watchman on the Wall program, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story with a biblical viewpoint. It's a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. When we think of Christian persecution, we naturally conjure images of some form of physical abuse. But persecution of believers can be very subtle. It does not have to be the burning of a church, incarceration for perceived misdeeds, or the killing of a Christian. For example, the advent of technology that has led to such devices as Apple Incorporated's iPhone and iPad, which the company has unveiled over the last few years and months, has drawn the ire of Christians because of the dismissal of what is called an app, which means application, that believers think should not have been pulled from the menu. We're quoting from Newsmax.com, December 29, 2010. Quote, several Christian leaders are angry that Apple Incorporated yanked an iPhone iPad software application containing the text of the Manhattan Declaration, a 4,700-word document that includes basic Christian teachings and Bible verses on marriage, life, and religious liberty, Baptist Press reports. Apple's rejection signals a growing societal intolerance of Orthodox Christianity that reflects hostility toward Christian beliefs, according to those signing an objection letter to Apple, including Richard Land, James Dobson, Charles Colson, R. Albert Mohler, Jr., and Timothy Dolan. Nearly 500,000 Christians signed the original submission to Apple in 2009, including representatives from many major Protestant denominations, Catholic bishops, and members of the Orthodox Church. Apple pulled the free app from its online store in November, saying it violates our developer guidelines by being offensive to large groups of people because it opposes gay marriage, abortion, and embryonic stem cell research. The letter objecting to Apple's action says the declaration simply reaffirms the moral teachings of our Christian faith on the sanctity of human life, marriage and sexual morality, and religious freedom and the rights of conscience. It is difficult to see how this is anything other than a statement of animus by a major American corporation against the beliefs of millions of Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox citizens, a statement on the Manhattan Declaration website said. Christian conservatives who support the Manhattan Declaration say they will resubmit the app to Apple's review board after January 1st, close quotes. When the app told why the app was taken off its software, the root cause, the rejection of morality and sensibility as taught in the Bible. Secularists hate God and His ways. We read of such people in the Scriptures when Paul wrote to the Philippians, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." That's from Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19. That's today's Bible in the News report. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly publication, call 800-652-1144. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program when once again we'll bring you a Bible in the News report.